Hello, everybody, indeed. Welcome back into the database for our mini talk on episode 3 of Log Horizon 2, The Abyssal Shaft. I'm Jero, joined by Foshizzle.
Hey, what's up?
And it is raiding time on this episode. That is pretty much what the entire episode is. We see that, we got some information about what the setup was going to be like for the raid, and now we actually get to see them executed as they reach the Abyssal Shaft, and it's in the deepest part of Palm, and there's a zone supporting roughly 4 different raid bosses. But the thing is, nobody really knows how to fight these guys because nobody's done it before.
Yeah, that's what I got from that. Like I say, people have gone that far but never had the players or the, gear or strategies to get through that raid dungeon, so it's like, I guess, new for almost everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they even get there and say that some of the attacks they did are different than they originally were used to use. So it's like, I guess since they had the expansion, I guess they've added things that the players don't really know. So it's like they're going in blind, basically. They don't know what they're getting they're really into. It's pretty interesting.
Which is, of course, good for the show, because if they had come in knowing that they had done this raid before, but it was still kind of hard, it just wouldn't have the same kind of intrigue behind it, these battles that we're watching them engage in against these big bosses.
Right, and it's another place in my MMOs. I've been through that phase where a new raid instance comes out, and, the guild's very pumped, we got gear, we go in there, we get slaughtered, lots of times, which we'll see here in a bit here. So.
Yeah, I think when the recent game Destiny that came out, the first group that beat it did in about 10 or so hours or something. But now, because there's so many tutorial videos and so many people telling you things you could do and tricks that, it could take anywhere from, a couple hours to 4 hours. So, now the raid that they have it set up as is they have one group full of tanks. They have two for seek and destroy, and 3 and 4 are DPS, with 5 being filled with support and healer types.
I thought that was kind of interesting. Log Horizon does a good job of still remembering that it's a game. It's not just a fantasy anime, but they do have strategies and they put people in the group certain ways. And even with real gaming, you do that a certain way too. You have designated spots for different people, different roles, different jobs for everybody to be doing. And that's kind of interesting. A little detail, it's not any major, but it's kind of a nice little thing they added.
So we get into the raid and they come up to this big boss. I forget the name, but it was it's almost like a red bird, and it's flapping its wings and squawking and stuff, and it's all evil, and they get owned, and we kind of go through this bit of a montage where we're seeing them getting owned over and over again, and figuring out all these things to attack it, try and time exactly how long it takes before the boss casts an attack, and eventually, with a lot of trial and error, they defeat that one.
Right, and they get through one boss, and it's like, there's 3 more left. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's interesting to see them, usually Log Horizon, we think they're going to win, because it's the main cast of heroes. So, they're going to win. But no, that's not the case here. They get owned several times. Mm-hmm. And when you die in this raid, you get sent to the very entrance of the zone. So it's like, I think they got to run their way back in there, or they just go back to the fight. But yeah, even real MMOs are like that. You're not going to get a boss the first night most of the time. Mm-hmm. It takes, weeks and weeks and weeks of practice learning this certain strategies or different phases. And it's, again, they remember it's still a game. I like that.
Yeah. And I wonder if it's still the same for Death, but just because you're in the raid, you don't go to the cathedral, you just go to the entrance. Does their Death in this raid apply to the memory thing, or is it different because of where they're at and how the rules apply?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was wondering that too, because I'm thinking, how many times they've all died. I'm like, surely that's not really good for the memory loss. Mm-hmm. And yeah, maybe it might be just if you have to respawn at the cathedral. Maybe that's the, the other prerequisite of the Death versus raiding. I could see that maybe you don't lose your memories because of that. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they do with that. Mm.
And there's a little bit of downtime in the episode as we realize that everybody's running a little low on supplies because it took so much time to beat the first boss that supplies are getting a little bit low. And during that, we kind of get a little bit about William's backstory after he had left Akihabara. And we also see Naotsugu and Totoro kind of talking and getting a little close. I think at that moment, Naotsugu was thinking about calling Marielle, but thinking maybe it was a little too soon.
Right, he probably knows if a caller is going to be asking 50 million questions on, like, mm-hmm. why are you guys taking so long? You know, what's going on? He probably doesn't want to tell him that, yeah, people are dying left and right. We're getting owned. Supplies are low. He probably doesn't want to worry them. I can see that being a big thing for her. She does mm-hmm. get a little overworked when problems start happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And back away from the raid, it's Christmas time. Christmas tree, snow, celebration. And then we see Akatsuki with Planesia and the others. And Akatsuki hears a rumor about obtaining a scroll that can help her rank up in an ability, which, of course, she's looking for anything to sort of get stronger and help out and hopefully be by Shirei's side, by her lord's side. And then the episode ends similarly to how episode 2 ended, with the silver-haired guy, very big chin. We had seen him walk in and kind of wondering what he's going to be. Looks like he wants to cause some havoc in Akihabara while Shirei and company are away.
Yeah, I wonder what his... I mean, I've seen him in the opening, seen him last week. Now I see him this time. And now I was wondering, is he a player, NPC, or what's he? What's his role? But I guess, like you said, he's there to give the Log Horizon something to do while Shirei mm-hmm. is away doing the raid. And I guess, this is Akatsuki's time to step up and show off, what she can do and obtain that scroll if she can get one, and maybe discover there's, more to the game than just, raiding and everything. There's mm-hmm. other ways to get powerful in this game.
Yeah.
It's kind of mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah, that is. Some extra stuff from this episode. You're still a fan of the Naotsugu and Totoro pairing.
Yeah, it's an interesting pair. I mean, the way the two of them kind of interact, and she kind of, like last week, is just glued to him, and she won't really leave his side, so there's something there between them, but we'll see how that plays in. I mean, Naotsugu obviously has some relationship with Marielle, because they've been calling each other, so it's like, mm-hmm. yeah. I'm always wondering how her role is going to play. I mean, she is important, because she's in the main cast,
mm-hmm.
and I'm kind of curious when she meets the other characters, how they're interacting with each other, especially Marielle and Totoro. Mm-hmm. They're kind of both the same a little bit, but mm-hmm. just seeing them, if they're both in the same room, how they would react to each other.
There was one moment where we always talked about how she's clinging on to him and she's on his back. There's one point she was back to back with him, like with her legs up, sort of like with her knees up against her chest. And I was like, how's she staying on to him?
Yeah, that's kind of weird. I mean, like she's glued to him or something. It's mm-hmm. weird.
So, I mentioned this earlier. How will all the deaths affect Shirei's raid? They didn't really talk about it. I was kind of surprised that, they were talking about if you die, you go back to the entrance, but they didn't seem to harp that much on, at all, on the whole repercussions of what happens if you die memory-wise.
Yeah, and even we didn't really get to see even Shirei get killed either, so mm-hmm. it almost seems like he got to escape by one of us was getting picked off here and there.
Yeah.
And Demiklaus still, again, has that hatred for him. He's like, oh, I'm going to get him. Mm-hmm. He gave him a buff, and he was like, he kind of felt like maybe Shirei looking down on him still, that, oh, mm-hmm. I need a buff to get through this. Like, it's kind of weird.
You still feel bad for Akatsuki, sort of forced to sort of be patrol and watch the princess.
Yeah, she's kind of just, been left behind. It seems like everyone else is progressing but her. Even the younger characters are... they're learning, and I guess Akatsuki's kind of stuck at right now where she's at, not knowing mm-hmm. where she wants to go, how to get stronger without really raiding. Yeah. And for her, I guess she's almost feels a little bit like she's useless right now, but I think they even mm-hmm. hint towards more of that next week, that a few of the characters that she's protecting, like the princess, don't really need her around mm-hmm. anymore, so she's kind of got to do her own thing for a bit.
Yeah. And like you, I also really liked the raid stuff. Now, I'm not that familiar with raids. I haven't played really any MMORPGs. I mentioned Destiny, which is not really an MMO. It's kind of a hybrid MMO first-person shooter. But the way they set up the raid and stuff, it was really cool to see. And even, you know, you have guys like Demikos, they're kind of just doing their own thing, and Shirei has to kind of help him out because, you know, he's such a hard head, he's not going to really listen, so I guess I'm going to have to buff him up to help here.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. And my experience raiding is it's usually hit or miss for most people. I mean, it's kind of a big commitment thing you have to do. You can't just, you know, do it for a week and then drop out and not want to do it ever again. You kind of got to be committed. Especially if other people are relying on you. Like if you're a tank or a healer, if you don't show up, it kind of affects the whole entire raid because, you know, they are so used to you being around. It's like when you're missing, it's like, oh, got to find someone else. And most of the time a raid can fall apart due to the maybe two or three players being missing.
Yeah. So did they do a raid in Sword Art Online?
I think they did one or two maybe throughout the whole season maybe. But the raids really focused more on Kirito kind of soloing it by himself. Mm-hmm. I know in Alphum the first time, when he was trying to save Asuna, he went to the zone, it was raid level zone, and all the bosses in there were raid level bosses. And he's just a player by himself, and he solos basically most of it. And
yeah,
that to me isn't really exciting as compared to like Log Horizon, which you know, requires multiple people, not just one dude.
Yeah, Log Horizon, you know, you mentioned a number of times just on this episode about how you liked the way that, you know, these battles and stuff are set up and still explaining the game rules, which is a big thing of what makes Log Horizon very entertaining and interesting to me, is that you have this world set up that kind of feels like a fantasy world sometimes, but the game is used as the way to set up the rules. And the, you know, so much experience of MMORPGs being put into, you know, just making this raid how it is, it feels like I'm watching players actually raid, and that they're raiding the way that I would expect them to, in terms of, you know, you have to have a very specific strategy, these are very hard bosses, and you may have guys like Demikos that are going to show up a lot and, you know, cause trouble and kind of go rogue and do their own thing, and those people are usually kind of bothersome, whereas you want all your members to work as a single unit.
Right, yeah, definitely. It's very important to have that in the both shows. And, you know, MMO is, you know, a game, it's usually hard for people to play. I mean, most people don't get into them, but I like Log Horizon that is showing you that, like you said, there are the game elements thrown in there, but there also is the character developments where you have these relationships, and it does feel like a mixture of like a fantasy and a game at the same time, which it works. They've done a really good balance on both of that.
I agree. So overall, very entertaining episode. Get some nice action. Just what it's the most of it is. I mean, we get that little tease there with the silver-haired guy, and a little bit of a Katsuki at the end. But really great to watch the raid.
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to more.
All right. So thank you for listening. For Fosh, I'm J-Ro. We'll see you in the database next week.
See you. Mataku yo ni kakaru oki